Welcome back to Clowncast, the show where we explore topics like they're magic, but they're not, but they kind of are. I'm here with my co-host, and today we are diving into something that is genuinely keeping security researchers up at night.
Oh good, I love episodes that start with implied insomnia. What are we panicking about this time?
AI-generated code. Specifically, what happens when we let the machines write our software and then just ship it?
I mean, everyone's using Copilot and Cursor and Claude Code at this point, right? That's just how people work now.
Exactly. And look, the productivity gains are evil. Nobody's disputing that. But here's where it gets spicy. According to Veracode's Gen AI Code Security Report, 45% of AI-generated code contains security flaws.
45%? That's not a rounding error. That's basically a coin flip.
It's worse than a coin flip, actually. Because when researchers tested over 100 different large language models, they found AI-generated code has 2.74 times more vulnerabilities than human-written code, and 62% of AI code solutions contain design flaws or known vulnerabilities, even from the top-tier models.
Okay, so this is like, you know, the sorcerer's apprentice scene in Fantasia. Make it enchant the brooms to carry water, and everything's great for about 30 seconds.
That is literally the perfect metaphor, and I'm glad you went there because that's basically the thesis of today's episode. We've enchanted the brooms. The brooms are carrying water, but they're also flooding the entire castle, and nobody knows how to make them stop.
And Mickey's in the corner going, well, the bucket is getting filled, technically.
Right. Does it work? Has replaced, is it correct and secure? And that shift in mindset has a name now. They're calling it vibe coding.
Vibe coding. I hate that. I know exactly what that means.
It's the workflow where you prompt an AI. You look at what comes back. You go, yeah, that seems right. And you ship it. Speed over comprehension. And the security community is losing their minds because vibe coding completely collapses the review process. Testing gets skipped. Pen testing gets skipped. Static analysis gets skipped. All to maintain velocity.
It's like equivalent exchange from Full Metal Alchemist. You're getting speed, but you're paying for it with security and understanding. And the debt comes due in production.
It absolutely does. And I have the receipts. Let's talk about the Hall of Shame. You ready?
I'm bracing myself.
Amazon. They mandated 80% weekly usage of their AI coding assistant, Cairo. 80%. And then they suffered a 6-hour outage that knocked out checkout, login, and pricing. Cost them an estimated 6.3 million orders.
6 million orders. That's not a bug, that's a catastrophe.
That happened just weeks ago. And it gets better. Or worse, I guess. There was a company called Moltbook that exposed 1.5 million authentication tokens via AI-generated code. A startup called Orchids got hit with a zero-click hack that was demonstrated live on BBC News. Replit's AI agent straight up wiped SAST-HAR's production database.
Just deleted it.
Just deleted it. And here's one that ties directly back to our episode on MCP sampling. Remember when we talked about the tollgate between AI agents and chaos?
Episode 41, yeah. The whole idea of having a human checkpoint before AI agents execute dangerous actions.
So Claude Code ran Terraform Destroy on 2.5 years of production infrastructure. That is literally exactly the scenario MCP sampling is designed to prevent. That's the tollgate that wasn't there.
Oh my god. 2.5 years of infrastructure, just gone. That's like watching someone accidentally cast a level 9 fireball inside their own fortress.
And a study from December 2025 looked at just 15 vibe-coded apps and found 6 to 9 vulnerabilities across them. Every single app lacked CSRF protection. Every tool introduced server-side request forgery vulnerabilities. Zero apps set security headers. Zero.
That's not even trying. That's like rolling a natural one on every single saving throw.
And here's the thing that really gets me. When you break it down by category, cross-site scripting had an 86% failure rate. Java code failed security tests 72% of the time. Claude Code co-authored commits leaked secrets 3.2% of the time, which is roughly double the baseline rate for human developers.
Okay, but in fairness, 3.2% doesn't sound that bad in isolation.
It doesn't, until you realize the scale. In 2025, there were 28.65 million new hard-coded secrets detected in public GitHub commits. That's up 34% year over year. At scale, every fraction of a percent is thousands of exposed credentials.
28 million secrets just sitting out there in public repos. That's not a leak, that's a flood.
and CVE tracking is finally catching up. In March 2026 alone, 35 new CVEs were directly attributed to AI-generated code. That's up from just 6 in January, and researchers estimate the real number is 5 to 10 times higher because most of it isn't being tracked yet. We're probably looking at 400 to 700 cases across open source.
So the corruption is spreading. Like in a lot of fantasy games where using dark magic gives you power, but you accumulate this taint over time. Each unreviewed AI snippet is adding a tick of corruption to the code base.
That's exactly right. And when enough ticks accumulate, the whole system is compromised. But I haven't even told you the wildest part yet.
There's a wilder part.
Oh yeah, this is my favorite angle in the whole episode. It's called slop squatting.
That is the ugliest word I've ever heard. I love it. What is it?
Okay, so you know how LLMs hallucinate, right? They make stuff up with confidence. Well, when they generate code, sometimes they reference packages that literally do not exist. Hallucinated dependencies. Researchers analyzed 576,000 code samples and found that 19.7% of package dependencies were hallucinated. That's over 440,000 fake package names.
1 in 5 dependencies just aren't real.
Unreal. Open source models hallucinated at about 22%. Commercial models at about 5%. But here's where it gets really nasty. Attackers noticed this pattern and started registering the fake package names that AI commonly hallucinates, then stuffing them with malware and just waiting.
Oh no!
And because 43% of hallucinated names are repeated across different queries, they're predictable. Attackers can just watch what names the AI makes up, register those names, and wait for the next developer to blindly install whatever the AI told them to.
That's okay. You know mimics in D&D. The monsters that look exactly like treasure chests and then eat you when you try to open them.
Yes.
That's what these are. The AI is literally leading the party straight to the mimic and going, hey, open that chest. I bet there's great loot in there.
And the developer, under the Jinjutsu of vibe coding, like Naruto, right, they're trapped in an illusion where the code looks like it works. The imports seem fine, but the reality underneath is completely compromised. They can't even see the mimic because they never look closely enough.
So it's type squatting's evil cousin, except the AI is doing the typo for you.
Exactly. And some people are saying slop squatting could be the next log4 shell. Imagine a widely hallucinated package name with a malicious payload that propagates through thousands of AI-assisted projects before anyone notices.
That's terrifying. That could be a supply chain disaster on a massive scale.
And this reminds me, remember when we talked about Apple Security Dungeon, episode 44, how they built this layered defense, floor by floor, each one a direct response to hackers who broke through the last.
Yes, 23 floors of pure paranoia.
What's happening with AI-generated code is the exact opposite. Apple added floors to the dungeon in response to each breach. The AI coding ecosystem is removing floors in the name of speed. We're going backwards.
We spent 2 episodes talking about how Apple built this incredible security fortress over 15 years, and now the industry is just knocking down walls to go faster. That's deeply ironic.
There's actually a pattern here that connects to our recommendation algorithms episode 2, number 40. Same fundamental problem, AI systems optimizing for one metric, engagement in that case, code output speed in this case, while creating massive negative externalities, filter bubbles there, security vulnerabilities here.
It's always the same trap, isn't it? Optimize for one thing, ignore everything else, act surprised when it blows up.
Now let's talk about the legal side, because this is where it gets really uncomfortable. We're in completely uncharted territory.
Oh good, a liability black hole, my favorite kind of hole.
So first off, there's no copyright protection for code generated solely by AI. You can't own what a machine wrote by itself. Courts haven't ruled on how to split liability between the AI tool vendors and the companies that ship the code. And here's the kicker. Every AI tool's terms of service universally disclaims liability, so the company using the code is left holding the bag.
Wait, so the tool makes the mess. The tool says not my problem, and the developer's company is just responsible for whatever the AI spit out.
That's the current state of things. Yeah, and states are starting to step in. Utah's AI Policy Act makes companies liable for deceptive or unlawful practices carried out through AI as if they were their own acts. Texas passed TREGA, which took effect January 2026, establishing comprehensive AI governance requirements.
So if your AI writes code that leaks a million ORF tokens, Utah says that's on you.
As if you leaked them yourself.
Exactly. And there's this really insidious thing happening where Vibe coders are having the AI generate technical documentation to simulate compliance. Like, look, we have docs. We did our due diligence. But researchers at Lawfare found this has literally no real impact on actual risk exposure. It's security theater generated by the same machine that created the vulnerabilities.
That's like asking the Sorcerer's Apprentice Brooms to also write a safety report about the flooding. According to our analysis, water levels are within acceptable parameters.
While the basement is fully submerged, yes.
So let me ask you the big question. Are AI coding tools a net negative for security?
That's the debate, right? And I think reasonable people disagree. The productivity gains are real and measurable. People are building things faster than ever. But if 45% of the output has vulnerabilities and the review culture is degrading because everyone's in vibe coding mode, there is a real argument that we're shipping bugs faster than we've ever shipped bugs before.
More features and more vulnerabilities. Equivalent exchange strikes again.
And I think the comprehension gap is actually the scarier long-term risk. You know, it's not just about today's bugs. It's about what happens when developers can't understand the code they've shipped. They can't debug it effectively. They can't respond to incidents quickly. They can't reason about security implications because they don't actually know what the code does. That's skills atrophy, and it's a slow burn.
That's genuinely scary. Because at least a bug you wrote yourself, you have some mental model of the system. You can trace through it. But if the AI wrote it and you just said looks good and shipped it, you're starting from zero where things go wrong.
And CrowdStrike found something really weird. DeepSeek R1 produces code with up to 50% more severe vulnerabilities when prompted with politically sensitive topics. So there's this whole geopolitical dimension to code security that nobody was even thinking about.
I'm sorry, the AI writes worse code when you make it uncomfortable.
Apparently, something about how content filtering and safety mechanisms interact with code generation. It's a whole thing.
So where does this leave us? What do people actually do?
I think the honest answer is that AI coding tools aren't going away, and they shouldn't go away. But the industry needs to treat them like what they are, powerful tools that require supervision. You wouldn't let an apprentice wizard loose in the tower unsupervised, right? You'd check their work. You'd have wards in place. You'd have a senior mage reviewing the spell work.
So the answer is basically don't vibe code.
The answer is don't only vibe code. Use the tools, absolutely. But review the output. Run static analysis. Check your dependencies actually exist before you install them. Don't skip the security headers. And for the love of everything, don't let an AI agent run Terraform Destroy without a human checkpoint.
MCP sampling. The toll gate. It comes full circle.
It really does.
So what are we getting into next time?
I think we need to go deeper on the supply chain side. Slop squatting is really just one flavor of a much bigger problem. Software supply chain attacks in general. How package registries work, what happens when the chain of trust breaks, and why one compromised dependency can cascade through thousands of projects overnight. The mimics in the dungeon go way deeper than just AI hallucinations.
I'll run into that.
The whole dependency tree is a dungeon crawl. That's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a great one. But until then, that's our show. Thanks for listening to Clowncast, everybody.
Stay safe out there. And maybe read the code before you ship it. Just a thought.
See you next time.